Welcome back to the FPL Experiment Podcast. Three mates, one team, and this season with a new target, we are trying to hit the top 10K. And right now, the wild card is active. We need to explain. We need to get into that. We'll talk about why that's happened. Let's discuss it game week four and make some plans for the wild cards. I'm Adam. Greg's here on his holidays, sat pretty much in the dark, although I can see the pool behind you, just.
It's there, mate. It's there in all its glory.
You look glorious, Greg, with that lighting.
I'm just happy to be on the pod with you guys on holiday, having a beer, talking about football. This is great.
And the wife's happy because you're not in the room bugging her.
Yeah, pretty much.
She's like, I've had all day with him. Oh my God.
Sod off, Greg.
Worst holiday photos, by the way, in the world. You're just more your feet rather than anything going on in the background. It's like, I can't really see anything there. I'm just focusing on your feet, Greg, by the pool.
My little hobbit feet.
Where are you in the world?
Got any requests? I'm in Halkidiki in Greece, in northern Greece, actually, famous for its jutting peninsulas.
Don't know if that'll stay in the podcast. Nick, how are you?
I'm very well, mate. I've just tucked into an aubergine parmigiana. I mentioned my dinner recently, so I thought maybe there's some people out there who still listen to the pod purely for the food element. So yeah, delicious aubergine parmigiana. No carbs as well, so good
what?
For your belly.
It's cheese.
Sorry?
It's a shitload of carbs.
Cheese isn't carbs, is it?
Yeah, man, there's loads of cheese and carbs. There's loads of cheese and carbs.
Are you having me on?
I don't think that's a carb.
Is this like when someone told me that chips weren't vegetables?
Nick, I've got two food-based stories for you. One, I've eaten a whole Terry's chocolate orange today.
Wow. Mm. What, throughout the day or just in one, like,
no, I didn't
session?
Really space it out. No, it was more of a session.
Wow. How do you feel after? Wavy, I bet.
You know, like what it's like when you've had too much sugar. But also, I've had an absolute shocker. I ordered HelloFresh to the house, but instead I've ordered it to my old flat, because I've not ordered it for ages. So I've been sent pictures of the boxes underneath where my post used to go in my old flat. So there's a little Sri Lankan curry going to waste.
Oh, nice. God. Oh, that must really get you. Just have another chocolate orange and just forget about it.
Yeah.
By the way, boys, 4.1 grams of Parmesan cheese of carbohydrates per 100 grams.
So not a
really
lot.
Really burst my bubble.
That's not a lot. That's a tiny amount.
I don't know if that's a lot.
Right. Anyway, let's crack on with the show, shall we? We need to talk about our team. We've hit the wild card, which feels like a strange thing to do, given that we scored 76 points this game week. Looking at our defence, Sanchez, Trent, Shaw, Soufal, all scoring points. Gray got us points. Salah and Lukaku as captain, all getting us points. I'm loving the slight kind of romantic music in the background coming from the bar in Greg's hotel. It's really quite off-putting more than anything, but it's really quite funny at the same time. Just the occasional little croak from a cricket in the background. It's quite a nice little bit of background music for the experiment today. But anyway, we scored 76 points, and I suppose we probably just need to explain why we did this. And maybe it's different for all of us. I mean, Saturday night, you two were really up for the wild card. And I wasn't really in a place where I could concentrate on what you were saying. And I thought, if I just stay quiet, they'll go away. And you didn't. You kept on. You were like, Adam. I was like, I don't know what to do. Right. So anyway, Antonio got sent off. DCL obviously injured. We've got Benrahma. We've got Harvey Barnes. We've got Rafinha. And at that point, I'm thinking, okay, we've got five attacking players not scoring us any points. Simicass, who stops us getting to Jota, let's just do it, because otherwise, to get anywhere near to a team that I'd be happy with, we'd have to take a -8. That, for me, was the turning point. You two went quite a lot earlier. I'm thinking, Nick, you just had a bit of movement for Ronaldo.
Mate, when I get an idea like this in my head, there's no stopping me. I was ravenous. I couldn't believe that you weren't replying. I was even checking whether you'd read Greg and I's messages. And I was furious that you had read them, but you hadn't responded. So I knew that there was something not quite right there. But Greg and I were aligned, right? And we were even debating, Greg and I, between us, just saying, well, let's just do it. Two out of three are on board. Let's just do it. So you're lucky that we did wait for you to respond, because otherwise we were going to do it anyway, basically.
Yeah, I got the sense that that might be on the cards. I'm going to be honest, there was a bit of anger from my side, because I think I was trying to push you two into making a decision last week, and you two were like, you just weren't having any of it. And I threw all the angles and you were like, nah, not having it. So for a bit, I think I was a bit sulky. But really, the turning point for me was DCL and the injury, because then you're looking at that team like, okay, we've been ravaged. I'd like to maybe play the wild card in game week 7, but look, this is where we're at. Let's just crack on with it.
Exactly. I think it was almost forced upon us with that level of injuries and that level of players who just haven't been delivering for us. And a lot of players, as you said, like cheapies on the bench who just aren't playing anymore. So I think we had to do it. It's a good job we didn't do it last week, because we did really well and it kind of pushed us into captaining Lukaku, which we may have done anyway, but I think we had a good week. So I think now is a good time. In an ideal world, we'd have waited a couple of weeks until those Chelsea fixtures turn, but I don't think Chelsea Spurs is a tough fixture for Chelsea based on how they performed against Palace. So I think now is a really good time. I think that there will be a lot of players out there who are thinking the same things, and we'll have a lot of players that we have and are going to press that button.
Greg, you were bang up for it as well.
I mean, Nick was incredulous. We were PMing each other, so angry with you that you were just reading our messages and ignoring us.
How dare I have a life outside of the Experiment podcast?
You know the rules, Adam. You have half an hour to respond, otherwise you just get aggy.
So I enjoyed today where you didn't even give us a minute to respond and then still made the transfer in the team. I looked back, I was like, oh, Greg's just chatting to himself by the pool.
I mean, I've got nothing else to do. Oh, fuck it, I'll just make some transfers. No, look, I everything that you both have said is the reasons I want to pull the trigger. We've got a load of dead wood in our team. I think with Antonio missing next week, it doesn't leave us any options up front rather than taking a hit. And then we're probably taking a hit for players that we might not necessarily want in the long term. So I absolutely want to pull. So I want to play the wild card, and I'm glad we have done so.
Ronaldo obviously was the talk of the town this week. Freddie Woodman didn't want to spoil his big day, which was nice of him. So he just gave him a couple of goals. It was like watching a dad in the garden with his like 3-year-old son, and he's trying to encourage his son to get into football. He's like, oh, you've scored a goal. Honestly, what was he up to? He's a Premier League keeper.
He was scared of the prospect of Ronaldo. Like he definitely, when he was bearing down on him for that second goal, with a nice burst of pace, by the way, like, you know, a lot of people have said that he's a bit of a geriatric who can't run anymore. But I think he did show with that Luke Shaw ball that he could have a turn of pace and get on the end of it. And I think maybe he was just a bit overwhelmed by having to face Ronaldo. But he, you know, he should have done a lot better with both of those goals.
Do you know what? Same thing happened in the Champions League last night. The keeper again got the fear of Ronaldo and let him score.
Would you be scared of him, Greg, in a 5-5-a-side game?
Oh, it'll definitely make me. I can't stop a pig in an alleyway.
I imagine a pig in an alleyway would be pretty tough to stop. They're quite aggressive, got good movement on. They make that noise that, you know, if they were screaming at you, you'd be like, what? I don't think many people would stop a pig in an alleyway. Alleyways also generally have two ways to get in and out. I mean, they're not stupid pigs.
Yeah, it's one of those ones in movies, though. It's got like a big high fence at the wrong end, so it's got to run at you.
That'd be terrifying.
Legs.
I'd love to see a pig running at Greg in an alleyway.
I'd pay good money for that.
Yeah,
it'd have to be like a squealing boar with some really like big, some big tusks and some big whiskers.
Well, you've really gone for this one, Nick. You've been reading those fantasy books again, haven't you?
Pumba.
Yeah, I mean, there's an idea. There's a grain of an idea there. Who knows what happened?
Yeah, like a forfeit in some way if Greg doesn't do something this year on the podcast. If he transfers in a player by accident again, like he did last season with Chilwell, we'll put him in an alleyway with a raging boar.
And he has to pay. He has to pay to hire the boar. I don't know where. Yes. I don't know if there's boar hire, any local boar hire places, but he's stumping up for it.
We've really gone off at a tangent. Really gone off at a tangent. Should we get back with the FPL Experiment League? Let's jump on that. So Sam Schoenberg, right, at the top of the league, is now 298 in the world. He did wildcard this week, had an absolute whopper. Rupesh Shah also went for wildcard and scored 93 points with triple Wolves defence. Jumped up 500,000 places.
500,000?
Yeah. ridiculous. Up to like 60k in the world now.
It'll never last.
One way to enamor the listeners, Greg. Yeah.
Right, let's discuss the wild cards. We've all made teams. We've all got players that we like. I think it makes sense to start in goal. Initially, I was thinking it probably makes sense to go with a 4.5, and there are three in that price range. Sanchez, Raya, Gaeta, right? But I have been thinking, and I have been looking at the Chelsea defence and thinking it would be brilliant to get a route into that team. I'm not that bothered about the Spurs game. I think they could get a clean sheet there. And then after the City game, beyond that, the fixtures are great. So there is part of me thinking, could we potentially go for the Chelsea keeper and then go for a cheaper defender? Which is maybe a point that I'll come back to. But because Mendy is so much more likely to play, and he's also been picking up bonus points as well, I don't know, it's a bit of a curveball right from the off.
That's left out of left field, Ad, and I love it. That never crossed my mind at all. I just assume that we just keep Sanchez because he's been all right and he's cheap. But
here's the thing, right? Sanchez, fixtures for like the next three or four, pretty good. Brighton have been okay. They've kept a couple of clean sheets. But after that, they then go into two sticky fixtures. I think it's City and Liverpool. And I was looking, thinking, oh, maybe we'll hop off of the keeper. This, I think, is a point worth making is, I don't really want to be hopping on and off of our keeper and our defenders. And the reason for that, I don't want players that are massively a rotation risk in there, because the attacking players that we're probably going to go for in midfield are going to be a rotation risk. When we get there, we'll talk about that in a minute, probably we're going to end up changing those players around. I'd rather just keep those five, six at the back as steady as we possibly can. And so that's why Mendy came to mind.
Would you not? I mean, I agree. I want to root into that Chelsea defence, be it Mendy or a defender. But is it not wiser to maybe go for a cheaper keeper who, even when he concedes, is going to get you some save points? So, fine, if you want to get off Sanchez, fine, I understand that. Look, he's not getting any save points even when they get a clean sheet. 6 points is your max probably ever you're going to get with Sanchez. Raya, you might get some bonus points. They've been pretty solid at the back. I don't know how long they can sustain that period as solidly as they have for Brentford. So do you then look at a, I wouldn't even say Melier at the moment, but I don't know, the other five, like De Gea, for example, 5 million, solid route to that Man United team, and he gets save points.
I think the thing is, and this is why I quite like Adam's idea, is that Mendy is pretty much nailed. I don't know, if you ask me who's going to play in that Chelsea defence at the weekend, I think Rudiger would probably be the player that I would have the most confidence in starting. Other than that, I have no idea. Aspilicueta didn't start last weekend. So I thought he was nailed on. That's the benefit of going with Mendy, in that he should play every game.
The other thing is with the Chelsea defenders, you're not looking at any of those Chelsea defenders and thinking that they're going to get you goals or assists, unless potentially you're thinking about James, and he's been in and out of the team. And then otherwise, maybe at fullback, potentially you could look at Alonso. Do either of you two want Alonso in the team? Can't see that happening, right? So realistically, we're not getting goals or assists from the Chelsea players. So potentially what you could do, just as an alternative, is you could bring in someone like Duffy, and Duffy occasionally gets into the penalty area for Brighton as an alternative to Sanchez. So what we really want from the defenders are players who are going to be able to get us assists or goals. And I don't really see that there's a Chelsea player that we would pick that would do that.
Well, I had James in all of my drafts.
But he's not getting into the team. Look at his minutes in the Premier League.
Yeah, well, he was. Like, so he,
okay, was, he, yeah, for what, one game? Well, one game,
okay,
he started.
Okay, well, so for the second game, he got 18 points. Then he obviously got sent off, so he didn't play the next game after that. But then he was straight back into Champions League team.
He's in and out of that team.
The first opportunity for him to come back, he's put him in that team again.
It's just quite a risk.
Yeah, I get that. But then I think it's a risk that's going to return you more points over the course of a season than Mendy.
Here's my perspective, right? I think, and we will get on to this, but I think we would like players who are a rotation risk further up the pitch. So people like Torres, people like Jota. If we have another rotation risk at the back, and I think we mentioned this a few episodes ago, I'd rather have a defender that I can rely on to start every single game week and get me 6 points every other game, as opposed to a player that I don't even know if they're going to get in that starting lineup. So I'm kind of siding with with the position of going without James or going without any Chelsea defenders, really.
I like the idea. I like Mendy as an option. I'm just trying to say, look, I don't necessarily think it's as cut and dry in terms of the other options, as we're saying, but I do like the option of Mendy in goal. And I still think if we go without Ronaldo, Mendy would definitely be probably the preferred choice. I think if we're going with Ronaldo, we're going to really scupper our chances for the rest of the squad with a Mendy in goal.
I agree. He's just too expensive for a keeper to, you know, if you're trying to squeeze every single ounce, every single pound that you can out of this budget, I think Mendy's a bit of a poor choice.
Yeah, I think Sanchez is kind of the obvious, isn't he, amongst the other ones that are there. It's just those two fixtures that are on the horizon with City and Liverpool when you don't really want him in there. But
do you know who does look really good, though, from a keeper perspective? And he's not in my drafts. This is just something that I noticed from the fixtures. Sarr.
Yeah.
At Wolves.
Yeah.
He's got Brentford this week and Southampton, then Newcastle, then Villa. Like, he's got to be a shoo-in. Like, is he what, 5 million?
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, if we can squeeze him in somehow, he could be an awesome shout. But I think I would rather, again, go for someone like Marcel or Semedo at the back if I was going to pick a Wolves defender.
Yeah, I think some Wolves defence is definitely necessary. So let's move on to defence, because I think it's maybe a better area for conversation. Are we all on Trent?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So other than Trent, I think you definitely have to have two cheaper players. Are we all kind of agreed that there's going to be 2-4 million players, roughly speaking, in around the squad?
Yeah. I think Livramento, he's starting every week, and Southampton might pick up a clean sheet, and he does actually get into some good forward positions. I think he's pretty nailed in our team. And then I think it's slim pickings, really, but I think Williams, even though Norwich haven't been great defensively, I think he's 4 million. He looks like he's going to start every week, and they have better fixtures coming up. So you wouldn't need to play both of them in any week, I don't think.
The only thing is, with one of the 4 million defenders, potentially we are going to have to play one. That's the only thing. So Livramento, his fixtures stink, but they get better in about 3 or 4 weeks. So the only thing is, Williams might need to end up in the squad, in the 11. That's the only problem.
Well, I had Ben White as the other option. Like, he's 4.4. I think we can stretch to him in the squad without Ronaldo. And actually, Arsenal got some a nice turn of fixtures now. And they were solid towards the back end of the season defensively. I think they're due a bit of an upturn. I think that the new right-back, Tomasaro, however you say his name, he could be a really good addition to that starting 11 and actually shore them up. So Ben White, for me, you know he's guaranteed starts. And actually, I'd rather put him in my team than Livramento, who actually could be rotated as the season progresses.
Do you know what, though? I do like Ben White, and I think he... Because he got dropped for that second game, didn't he? And I think a lot of people shipped him, which is probably why he's gone down.
No, he got COVID.
Oh, did he? Okay. But that's still probably why he went down to 4.4. But I know we've kind of written off Norwich, but if you had to start Williams the next few games, Watford at home could be a clean sheet. Everton away, probably not. Burnley away, Brighton at home. Like, they're not awful.
Yeah, not that bad, yeah. Elsewhere in defence, I was looking around. The difficulty is with Chelsea, you've got Spurs, then City. With City, you've got Chelsea and Liverpool coming up, which isn't ideal because they're the two defences you really want to tap into. So for that reason, I'm thinking maybe for now, I would stick on Shaw. Scored points in every game so far, slightly better fixtures than those two, but I'm not necessarily thinking that I need to keep hold of Shaw. You know, maybe ship him once the other two get into better fixtures. Although I do quite like the Chelsea Spurs fixture for Chelsea. What were you thinking, Greg, about? Because it's that kind of more expensive defender outside of the 2-4 mils and Trent that we're probably going to talk about. I'm going to guess the other 4.5 is probably going to be a Wolves player.
Yeah, exactly. Martial or whoever. But I actually really want to keep Shaw on my team. I think Ronaldo in that starting 11 makes Shaw an even more enticing proposition from a defensive perspective, because he will get his noggin on a few of his balls. So he's returned points in every game this season. I think it's sensible to keep him for now, and then we can hop off maybe later on if his form dips at somewhat.
I totally agree. Like, Shaw's been good to us. He's, you know, even the tail end of last season, he was good to us. I don't think we've got any reason to get rid of him. One thing that is niggling at me is, and I've got a stat coming, lads. So I'm sorry, Greg.
Whoa.
Laporte from Man City, right? He's had 6 attempts on goal in the box this season so far, which is way ahead of any City defender. And it's the second highest of any player in that team. I've watched him a few times. He's always in there. Even away from set pieces, he's managing to always just lingering up there like for a few minutes after a set piece. Like he seems to really want to score for some bizarre
reason. Do you think he's meant to? Do you think he's just got stuff on his mind? And then he's like, oh God, I'm playing football.
Yeah, maybe he just thinks he's a striker for a couple of minutes. Who knows? Who knows? But I think he's only 5.5 million. And because he wasn't a big part of that team last season, he's super cheap this season. So if he can get into that defence, which I know you're talking about the fixtures being poor, but if he can get into that defence of 5.5 million, it seems that we shouldn't, you know, look a gift horse in the mouth.
What's the crack with Stones there? What's happened with John Stones? I actually haven't followed the story, but all of a sudden he's not in the side as far as I'm aware. Although they've got the Champions League now, so they might rotate.
Well, Ake started tonight and he's just scored, actually. But I think Pep said that he needed to give Stones a bit of a mental break. And then Laporte came in and he's been absolutely on fire. I mean, he's started every game this season for them. And he's been talking him up in the after-match interviews as well, every game, just saying how well he's playing. And it doesn't look like he's going to be coming out of that 11 anytime soon. But I think that almost plays into our hands in terms of what you were saying, Adam, that, look, we keep Shaw for the next sort of 4 or 5 weeks. And then that gives us the opportunity to hop on to maybe a Laporte when that fixture swing comes.
Let's just get on with it then. Midfield, Salah. Are we all on Salah?
Yeah.
We're all on Salah.
It's interesting to know where we're going to jump here, but I'm a big fan of Jota, as I said last time. I like Jota for the next 2. Firmino, I haven't looked into Firmino and where his injury's at, but I think Jota's a great asset to have. They've got a brilliant record against Palace as well, so I'd really like to have him for Palace. And then looking at the other players in there, I like Damari Gray as an enabler, maybe just for the next 2. Villa and Norwich in the next 2. I'm not saying that I want to stick on Gray forever. And I think the reason for that is I don't know whether or not he can hold out that level of form when he's only having something like 1 shot a game. But again, it was something that you brought up, Greg, when you were talking about his heat map and where he stands on the pitch and he's the furthest player forward. When he scored that 3rd goal, it was his positioning that got him that goal. And it may just be for certain periods of the game that he's in that position, because I don't know that he was always there. But at the moment, there's nobody else in that price range who is performing to that level who has good fixtures. The other one would be Conor Gallagher, but his fixtures for the next couple, I'm not a huge fan of. And I think people are going to go a bit over the top about Conor Gallagher. But having watched that Spurs game, Spurs collapsed when they had a player sent off. And they completely fell apart. And it's probably because Nuno didn't make the right changes, for example. They were already in trouble because of the players that they had on the pitch, right? So Conor Gallagher, I've been a huge fan for a long time. Is he going to be able to sustain it? I'm not 100% sure on that either. But I think Gray is the right one for the next couple of games. And I don't know who else you guys have got in your midfields, who you're thinking about, who you like.
Gray, absolutely. Although Decore's given him a really good run for his money. He's only 1 point shy of Gray at the moment, and he's playing a bit more advanced. And I was reading an article the other day in the Times where he was talking about Benitez, saying that, I want you to get minimum 5 goals and then we'll talk about your next target beyond that. And he's saying that he's pushed me to carry the ball further at the pitch to play a bit more decisive balls. And that was evident in the game on Monday. So he's quite an interesting player. He's one to put on the watch list for sure if Gray's form somewhat dips and Decore continues chugging along in the background. But yeah, Gray, I'm happy to keep. I want to keep Raf. I think with Leeds fixture swing, and we can talk about Leeds in a bit more detail later. Swing.
Yeah, did you swing that, Greg, then?
I did. I did. I bit my bottom lip accidentally and went swing. I want Greenwood as opposed to Jota. Greenwood's, I've been talking about him all season. You don't need me to carry on waxing lyrical about him. I love him. And then I've actually gone the other way to you in terms of Gallagher. I would like Gallagher in, and I don't think it's just on the basis of what he did against Spurs. I think everything that's positive about that Crystal Palace team is dictated from Gallagher. Yes, Zaha's a big part of that. Edouard, obviously, great debut. He's going to be another outlet for Gallagher to maybe get some more assist points, but I just think he's a really exciting player, and for that sort of price range, he's a nice enabler for what we want to do elsewhere.
Nick, how about you? What are your thoughts on midfield? And I guess the thing is with this, you've, Greg, obviously gone for 2 5.5s in midfield, which says to me, I know what you're going to do with your forward line. I know what you're thinking with your forward line. Whereas, you know, for me, I can't fit 2 5.5s in because I want Lukaku and I want Ronaldo. Nick, what are you thinking about in midfield?
Yeah, I mean, when I drafted our wild card, and just for context, I want Lukaku and Ronaldo up front. So I'm less interested in Greenwood. I totally think that he could play well alongside Ronaldo, but if I was going to go for any other United asset, it would probably be Pogba. But yeah, just to kind of lay the groundwork, I was thinking Salah, of course, Gray, agree. I really want Torres from City. I think there's always going to be a risk of rotation, but for 7 million and he's playing up front, out of position, in a Pep Guardiola team, you've got to have him, surely.
He started again tonight.
Did he? Like, he's a monster. He just keeps going. So you never know. He could be dropped for a game. But I think what we've seen so far says that he is his first choice. So even if he gets dropped for a game, he'll come back. And at 7 million, that's not a huge risk, as long as you've got a decent bench. And then I think the other player I would go for would be Jota, just for a few games, right? He's got a nice fixture next. He's got Palace at home. And as you said, Firmino is, we don't really know what's happening with him at the moment, but I think Jota and Salah would be great for that fixture. And then we can move him to a Pogba, a Greenwood further down the line. But I think they would be my kind of key four. And I'd probably just have a bench warmer in someone like Bissouma as that fifth midfield slot.
So the biggest decision that we're going to have to make as far as this is concerned is going to be, are we going to go Lukaku and Ronaldo, or do we go for a different front three? Obviously, Nick, you and I have kind of said that we want Lukaku and Ronaldo. In a way, that doesn't necessarily need a lot of explanation. I guess it would be good, Greg, and I think we should kind of just listen to why you want to go for a different front line and what you're thinking about as far. I mean, I know why you would want to do it in terms of the whole squad, but who are you kind of looking at up front?
So my front line was going to be Lukaku, Antonio and Jimenez. I don't want to have Lukaku and Ronaldo in our team because of the sheer inflexibility it gives us throughout the course of the season. And I think there could be a lot of points to be made up jumping off and on those, as we discussed last week, Adam, when you and I were talking, those 7.5 million midfielders that are going to go through purple patches because they're good enough to do so. And you want to be a part of that. Right now, it's Torres. Greenwood's having the time of his life at the moment, returning every single game. And I think if you can't have the flexibility in your squad to hop on and hop off when they're doing so, I think it really inhibits your ability to pick up points throughout the season. But I also do agree with both of you that it is a tantalising proposition having both Big Rom and Ronaldo up front. It doesn't sit easy with me. That's all.
I get it. I mean, the thing is, I'm looking at those players there. Antonio obviously out for this week, and Jimenez, I'm not a huge fan of having in the team.
He's not scored yet this season, has he?
No.
No, so the reason for Jimenez was I was going to put Bamford in, but I was going to have to change my choice later when we're talking about strikers, but I think he evens himself after the match that he's pinged his hamstring, and there's loads of rumours going around he's actually might be out for Friday's game. So, but Jimenez, he's been so unlucky not to score. That Wolves team are creating so many chances that he will get on the end of some of these goals. These chances soon, and he's going to start firing. And I think for his price point and what we can do with the rest of the team, along with Antonio, who is the highest point scorer in the FPL, even with a minus one. And then in week six, when he comes back, he's playing Leeds, who are pretty much the worst defence in the league at the moment. Like, you want a bit of that. And I don't think we can have any of that when we've got Ronaldo. And Antonio is a player that's so highly owned that him scoring, and he will score throughout the next few weeks, is going to really hurt our position amongst the overall rank.
I wouldn't necessarily be hugely concerned about not having Antonio if I had both Lukaku and Ronaldo. Like, it's not like there's only one player that can score points. It's the other player that's in there that is an issue for me. If Jimenez was potentially Calvert-Lewin, I guess, although he's now injured.
I take your point about Jimenez, and I think he could well hit a good run of form, but I don't want to use a wild card to put someone in who's not scored a goal yet this season. And I totally see that it unbalances our squad. But I think that's two captain options there up front. We've said we've got to be better at picking captains. So if we've got Salah and we've got Lukaku and we've got Ronaldo, then I think that gives us three really good options every single week. If we didn't have Ronaldo, I feel like I'd want Bruno because I want a hitter from that United squad.
So our big conversation point really is going to be which £7 million midfielder we go for, because essentially both Nick and I are saying Lukaku and Ronaldo.
Thank you.
Oh, hello.
So I just get a beer.
That's nice, mate. You're on holiday. Enjoy yourself. Lukaku and Ronaldo are going to be the front two. So really, we're just going to need to talk about which £7 million midfielder we go for. We can do that off of the podcast. I think they're all good options. Jota, Torres, Greenwood could potentially go for any of those. Let's quickly have a conversation about differentials. Greg, I cannot wait. I know you've had a couple of weeks off. I can't wait to ask you to do this by the pool on holiday. How many people are nearby? Have you got other people around the pool?
There's a few here, yeah.
Do it properly, Greg, because you haven't done it for a couple of weeks.
Needs to be really, really high-pitched, please.
Do you want to get really high-pitched? Okay. Differential of the week!
Fair play. Oh, God.
Only week when Nick's enjoyed it. Right.
A few very alarmed Greek men.
That weird bold man with a really high voice.
Right, so differentials cost £8 million or less in our game, and they need to be owned by 5% or fewer. Who was the biggest differential this week? There were two, actually, same number of points.
Oh, I just talked about him, haven't I?
Come Edward.
Huh? Oh, wait there. Whilst we're talking about this, you know, I messaged you boys about my most mundane fact of the week. I've got my fact concerns Eddie the Eagle. Do you want to listen to it?
So it's not even remotely football related?
No, yes. Yeah, no, Eddie the Eagle, Edward. He's an eagle now, isn't he?
Oh, I thought you meant the ski jumper.
Me too. I was like, this is a real jump off to different tangent.
No. It's not that tenuous. But no, so he was obviously the first player in Premier League era to score twice in the first 10 minutes of his debut. But this is the humdinger of a stat. He is the first player in top flight history to have the initials O and E to score.
That's the stat.
That's a stat.
Oh, God.
Thank you very much. Mic drop.
Oh, my God.
You need a bit like a little tumbleweed sound for my stats.
I mean, the weird thing is you really built that one up as well. I don't know if it was...
No, I told you it was crap. I told you it was mundane, but...
Wasn't his the fastest goal as well?
18 seconds, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wow. And it's I think not it him, though. Like he's not the differential of the week.
Oh,
okay. It's Marcel and Kovacic, so... Yeah, they both got 13. Anyway, Greg was at the top of the league table with 22. I've got 14. Nick's got 7. Greg is still at the top of the league table. Nick's still at the bottom. Normal business, really. So I went for Traore, got 2 points. Greg went for Nails, got 3 points. Nick went for Sal, he got 2. Not a great week all round, lads. Didn't work out that well. But our own team had a great week, so who cares?
You win some, you lose some, yeah.
They're not going to deliver every week. That's why the differentials.
Do you know what? No, now we've spoken about the ball and the ball kind of forfeit, I'm slightly scared I need to pull my socks up here a little bit.
Well, yeah, you can't be Spooner 2 years in a row, mate. There will be forfeits for that.
Nick, who are you going for this week?
Apologies if I get his name pronunciation wrong. Trincao.
Yeah.
I'm going for from Wolves at home to Brentford. 1.1% owned, 5.9 million. His expected goal involvement in that Wolves side is the second highest of all midfielders. He's looked really good. And he's only second highest to Traore, who couldn't hit a donkey's ass with a banjo. So it's not, you know, he is pretty, pretty good. He's up there. I'd say he's worth a punt this week. Trincao.
Greg, who are you thinking about? Who are you going for? And if you can get as good a saying in there as Nick, I'll be really impressed.
I'm surprised Nick's gone for Trincao because I think Pudence is going to start nicking some minutes off him. So it'd be interesting to see what happens this weekend.
I wish you told me that before.
No, but that's why you're the differential spoonhead, mate. So
research.
you've literally stuck your finger in the air. I've actually I'm in the same team as you, though.
I know who you're going for.
Semedo, I've gone for. 4.9 million, 2.6% ownership. The guy was unbelievable at the weekend. He did everything but score for Wolves as a defender. So I think he could do just as much damage this week as well.
Right. So the player you've just suggested for our team, you're not backing enough for differentials, but you will put in our team. Jimenez.
Yeah, I want Semedo in. I wanted Semedo in our team for wildcard team, but we can't budget it now because you put Mendy in goal.
This is craziness. Should we all go for Wolves? Shall I go for Jimenez? Should
we have a big Wolves you go for party? Jimenez?
Yeah, do it. That'd be fun.
That's keep good because I did have Pookie on my mind, but I've just seen that he's now 5.4%, so I can't go for him. So, yeah, let's
Who's
go for Jimenez.
Who's putting Pookie in a team? I mean, come on.
But he's got Watford this week.
I got Pookie on my mind.
Yeah.
It sounds like Dane Bowers and Vicky Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You remember that
Pookie
tune?
On my mind. Pookie on my mind. Gonna
make it really easy for you.
Trincão, Jimenez and Semedo are the three that we're going for differentials. Right. Captains. Let's talk about our captain for this game week. Right. I've got something for you lads that I think you're going to enjoy. Right. So potentially we might have Salah, Lukaku and Ronaldo in the team. Salah, you may remember, last time that we had him against Palace, came off of the bench and scored two goals. Now, Liverpool have got a great record against Palace. I think they've won something like the last six or seven. Right, great history. But we've got an even better history in many ways in this game because not only did Salah get the two goals for us off the bench, on the final day of the season, when we won our mini league and when we got to 18K, we had Mane. Mane scored us two in that game. And therefore, we jumped up the table. This feels like our game.
It has to be.
Always. I'm fully on board with Salah.
I've not thought about anything other than Mo.
Do you want some Mo stats about Crystal Palace?
Mo stats.
Arsenal and West Ham are the only clubs that Mo has actually got more double-digit hauls against than Crystal Palace. So he's got four against Arsenal and West Ham. He's got three against Crystal Palace. I know it's a different team this year, but they just always do well against Palace.
He's going to be heavy captain favourite from a lot of players this week.
Yeah.
I think people will get really excited about Lukaku and Ronaldo, though.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be as straightforward with Salah being the overt choice this week. I mean, they've got five wins in five Premiership games against Palace. Liverpool scored 19 goals in that time. Salah's got five goals and three assists. He loves this fixture.
They were good as well against Leeds. Like, I've tried not to bring it up too much, no. But they were really good.
Yeah, It all clicked. I think VVD is such a good... He's so good. I think subconsciously for the attackers to have him back in defence, they've just got their swagger back, haven't they?
Definitely do. So we'll talk about the wild card a bit more on WhatsApp, no doubt. I'll look forward to it.
Are you going to respond?
I might respond. I might not. Who knows?
No, probably rude. Won't. Rude, just PM me, mate.
Yeah, we'll sort it out, Greg.
I love that you two are in cahoots, but you haven't got the team that you wanted, Greg. I mean, that's worked out really well, hasn't it? Well done. Good work. I mean, you had a private ear of Nick. You should have sorted this out on Saturday. Right.
Ooh, sassy. Meow.
Ah, dear. Good to have NFL Fantasy back, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, actually. Hell. Really enjoyable. To anyone who doesn't play it, but who plays FPL, I'd highly recommend it. I even thought for some, I think it was maybe half an hour on Sunday, I was like, this is the best thing in the world. This is better than FPL. I came down after I got absolutely pounded in my first week. But yeah, I enjoyed it all the same.
The draft Adam's is so it. Good. Like, it's so different. I just don't think it would work in FPL. I think it's a really good format. So if you can get 8-10 people together, or do you need 10 to make a league for a 10-team league?
I think you need to have 10.
But if you can just get 10 people, even if you just pull in a couple of randoms, absolutely.
And you don't need to know anything about it. That's the beauty of it. But you can do draft on it, FPL.
Yeah, but I just don't know that it would work because you've got every single player in every potential NFL team, you know, every running back, every wide receiver, they could all potentially score points. Whereas if you did it in FPL, you'd have like quite a few Billy Gilmores in your team and you'd be like twice a season, you'd get excited, but not every week, surely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. But yeah, it's really fun though, anyway. Yeah, really fun. It. And the trading element of it is fantastic. That's something that you just don't get in FPL.
Yeah, so you're doing private trades with the people in your league. So you're proposing them, right, I'll trade you player X for player Y. And generally everyone's trying to pull each other's pants down. Nobody really wants to trade. Occasionally though, just every now and again, somebody says yes and you're like, Oh, it's just so exciting, isn't it?
Greg is known as the Daniel Levy of our league. He overrates his players to ridiculous levels and he refused to trade. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Greg agreed to a trade. I couldn't believe my eyes. And it was the worst trade I've ever seen for Greg. But, you know, each of their own.
What did Ollie say to you? How are you imagining that?
I don't understand how you guys think it was the worst trade. I think we've come out very even out of this. So I'm very happy
with
that.
That's not what everyone said in the pub at the weekend.
Oh, because everyone's an NFL expert, apart from maybe one of the people in that squad.
So it was mainly Morris who was our biggest NFL
guys,
expert.
Let's calm down, yeah? It's a nice, relaxing Wednesday evening. Greg's in Greece. He's got a beer.
Yeah. You told him it was a shit trade, mate. Not
Are we going to do a podcast next week as well, won't we?
Well, you got bad signal again. Anyway, nice little end to the podcast. Lovely to have you on board for it. Team's going up at FPL Experiment soon. Enjoy that. Good luck for the game week.